Welcome to the Awakening Wave Show, where we ride the currents of spiritual growth, dive deep into conscious conversations, and integrate enlightenment into every moment of our lives. So join me once again on this transformative journey as we all go through the ascension cycle. Welcome back to the Awakening Wave Show. I am Robin Lee, your host. Get ready to dive into a journey of spiritual awakening and ascension, where we explore the tools, the stories, and insights that light up your path to personal growth. So each one of my episodes, we will speak meaningful conversations, share transformative wisdom, and connect with the vibrant community of knowers, not seekers, but knowers, because integrating spirituality into every aspect of our lives is the key to unlocking your infinite potential. So settle in, open your heart, and let's ride the wave of awakening today, together. So today we are going to explore the timeless dream of homesteading your land, a journey of transforming raw earth into a thriving home for some, just as the pioneers did over a century ago. At the heart of this dream lies the Homestead Act of 1862, a revolutionary law signed by the one and only President Abraham Lincoln that opened the American West to millions. The act offered, and this is still true today, folks, 160 acres of public land to anyone willing to live on it, cultivate it, and call it home. And back then, the minimum was to be there for 5 years, all for a modest fee. So they didn't pay a whole lot for their land. It was a bold promise of opportunity, drawing citizens, immigrants, freed slaves. Freed slaves. I don't know if that's still true. Are we really free when you think about the systems that we're under? And you dive deep into the hold that they have on us. Are we really free? Well, we are starting one way of doing that, and that's through the homestead. So let me continue on. And the single women, yes, single women, to stake their claim and build a future. I love it. So join us as we uncover the legacy of the Homestead Act, how it shaped the nation, empowered diverse communities, and still to this day inspires modern homesteaders like myself to embrace the land, cultivate resilience, and create a legacy of my own. And back then, it started from the prairies of Nebraska to the backyards of today. So let's ride today the wave of homesteading. And yes, it is the beginning of a big wave. We are the way showers, the beginners, the ones that are out there proving that it is still alive today. So today I have a special guest joining me today, and we are going to talk about my journey in regard to the challenges and successes that I have experienced in the present day of my homestead journey. So before we get started, I'd like to say thank you to all my incredible subscribers for your continued support. I truly appreciate all that you do. You make this show possible, and I am so grateful for your loyalty and enthusiasm and all the wonderful feedback that I get in regard to some of the topics that I've touched base on. Yes, so thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I love you all. I would like to give you guys some updates on my NPC Master Bikini. I took first place in both divisions, 55 and up and 60 and up, and I am a national qualifier. So I got two medals and I got two trophies. So if I want to continue on to the national qualifiers. That's in about 7 weeks, and I do believe that will be taking place in Philadelphia. Now, I haven't looked into the details as of yet, but I may do it. We'll see. We'll see if I'm inspired. My one of my coaches that worked with me, I'm not going to say last year, but the year before, was actually competing. So I got a really nice surprise when I went to go the night before to get my spray tan done and found out that she was competing. Now, she is 70 years old and she is just amazing. And she's been doing this for quite some time and she's helped others on their journey in regard to inspiring people in the fitness arena. And that's what I do. As I said before, I am a manager of a gym and I do personal training. And I love doing these competitions because it challenges me. It's a lot of fun. And I can inspire others that age is just a number. Don't let it hold you back because there's a lot of amazing people out there that I saw on the stage this past weekend. And kudos to all of you. April, I love you. It was so wonderful seeing you. And I know you're listening. So big hugs. And we'll do it again soon for sure. So I'd like to say a shout out to NanoOGIS, my sponsor. NanoOGIS, www.nanoogis.net is their website. And their product is the wellness, the anti-aging, and the nose spray, which I use. I use all three products, and the nose spray is really coming in handy. I didn't think that I had allergies much anymore, but I was out cutting the grass last weekend, and oh my gosh, I must have had to run in the house I don't know how many times to get a Kleenex. So I just ended up bringing out the whole box because, yeah, wow. And I got a headache, and so I had to shower just with all the pollen that's coming off the trees. So it looks like pollen. Who knows? It could be something else from what we see in the skies. You just never know, right? But anyway, if you're interested in the product, there is a Learn tab at their website. And they also have live testimonials, so check it out. Some of the things that the wellness spray does, it modulates the immune system, reduces inflammation and pain, which comes in very handy, especially for somebody like me because I work out quite a bit. For the skin spray, it also reverses aging, serves as a vitamin D and vitamin C substitute. So lots of great, great stuff. So check it out. Again, Learn tab for all the scientific information. And if you use the Awakening Wave 63 code, you can get 15% off of your first order. So check it out and let us know what you think about or what you feel about it. Okay. And just know that it does work. If you don't believe it's going to work, it's not going to work because that's how powerful we are. So remember that. All right, so before we get started, I always have an opening statement, and there's always a word that I like to talk about in regard to things that have happened to me in the past week. So, you know, a lot of us have been wondering, where is Q? Where is he? He's been gone on vacation. Holy crap, we wore him out that much that he had to take a month off. Maybe he'll take 2 months off. Who knows? But just so you guys know, Q is right here with all of us every day. You just look in the mirror, you see him because we are all Q. He is in every one of us. We are fractals. We are all one, subsets of each other, as he told me once. And so, even though we don't hear him every Saturday, he's in our hearts. He's with us every day. So, I love you, Q. If you can hear us, we miss you. Whenever you come back, come on and join the family once again. So, which brings me to the word of the day, adversity. The meaning of adversity to me is that I accept that challenges are and have always been the best way for me to learn. So I remember how my mother used to say that I always would learn the hard way. She was very correct about that because I was one of those people that you could tell me something, but you know, I just had to do it to know it. That's just how I am. And I think I've been called reckless by somebody we know pretty well. Anyway, then again, no one ever said to me, life is going to be easy. So obstacles are going to be present as we navigate through this time that we're in. I had to turn the heater off now because it gets a little bit loud. Yes, we're recording today. Or we could say experiences. If It's how we react to these experiences and how you overcome the challenges. So you must know, not believe, that you will. Always know that you will. Know yourself, know your spirit, and trust in your intuition. Confidence comes to those who succeed in conquering adversity. Are they difficulties or misfortune, or are they opportunities to reach out to our soul families? We are never alone. We have each other in times of challenges. That is for sure. I have a lot of family around me, not earthly family, but people that I've met through this time that I consider my family. And I love you all, and I know you're all listening. So if you need help, others are always here to assist us. It's okay to receive as much as it is to give. We may not hear Q every Saturday, but we surely feel him, and he is always with us. So without any further ado, I would like to bring on my guest today. Her name is Teresa, and you guys have heard her a few times on, Do Believe the Q Show. Teresa, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
We've been doing a lot of work together in the last couple of weeks in regard to my personal homestead. Can you give the listeners a little feedback on your background as to what your occupation has been in the past?
My occupation in the past was that of an attorney in New York State. Collectively, with a few other family members, we formed a mortgage brokerage, a real estate brokerage, a title company. Our goal was to discount mortgages and properties, make them affordable for the average person. And it was not well received by the legal community or the banking community. And we were forced out, and so we no longer do this.
Okay, so right now you're actually working with me in helping me navigate through my personal homesteading, and I'm going to kind of talk a little bit real quick about where I'm at and some of the challenges that I've had. Like this past week, May 23rd, I do believe it was, which was last Friday, and they were actually auctioning off my house at 11 a.m. So prior to that, I took all the steps and I cited all the people in regard to the trespassers that came on my property to put postings on my front door. They ignored the signs. So we did cite the sheriff's office. We did. I also filed a complaint with the attorney general. I have followed up with them twice. The last time that I contacted the attorney general, they had the search for my complaint. They found it. And she said that they were going to upload it and they would get back to me in a couple of weeks. Now, that was probably 3 weeks after I filed. So now, just yesterday, I called them again just to see because I haven't heard anything. And a different lady answered and she says, well, it takes about 5 or 6 weeks. So she didn't ask me any questions. What my, I think it's, I'm not sure if it's called a case number or it's a submittal number. So she didn't even ask me that in regard to the case. So it was real quick and short, and it was kind of end of the day. So maybe that's why she was kind of in a hurry and didn't want to really look into it too much. So I did file that, and I filed that on May 1st, and it was a criminal complaint inquiry in regard to the sheriff not holding up his oath to the Constitution and authorizing the sale of my house, knowing that it is homestead, because they were all, we sent all the documents. I know Mike and Leah sent them to their people, their sheriff, and they still went ahead with the auction. Now, where I'm at with that, I did also call the U.S. Marshals. I have not had a chance to touch base with them, but right now we have an acting U.S. Marshal, and I do believe his name is John Guzman. And I think you need to make an appointment in order to get get to talk to him one-on-one. I have left messages, but I have not heard anything back in regard to the message that I left. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I did go to an auction a couple weeks ago just to kind of see how the process was. It took place out in the hallway, which I talked about on my last show. I went to my actual auction and I stood up before they auctioned off my property and I educated the people in the room as to what the federally patented, my federally land patent meant. And I explained it to them. And so they went on with the auction. And when it came up to my particular property, there were no bids on it. So at this time, it's going back to the bank. Is that correct, Teresa? Am I right on that?
Yes, as I understand Michigan foreclosure law, depending on your loan to value, so your mortgage amount compared to the property value, that's your LTV, you either have a 6-month period of redemption or a 12-month period of redemption. Your notice specifically said 6 months period of redemption. So that means in my world, you have up to that time period to move this matter into federal court. And that's what we'll work on next.
Okay, so prior to the auction, what you and I did is because you're kind of going through something similar in in your area.
Yeah,
Yes.
yes, in New York, yes.
So we actually put together a notice of hearing and motion for dismissal of my case. And so when I went to the county building to get this filed, I had four copies. I had one for myself. One to file and then one to send to the lawyers. And I can't remember what the other one was for, but I had everything notarized. I went down there ready to roll. And we had an index number. We did not have a case number, but when I did my research, the case number and the index number are one and the same. Now, I didn't know that exactly before I went up to the circuit court. And it took me a while to find where to file these documents because nobody really knew anything about anything. It's like you said, they all have their own silo of what they do in their immediate jobs. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Although I will say the people in Michigan seemed a tad more ignorant than the ones in New York. I was amazed at their lack of knowledge, frankly.
Yeah, and I got pointed back to the sheriff's office whenever there was a question that they couldn't answer. So as I went up to try to file this, they would not file it because they said there was no case number. But the index number is actually the case number. Is that not correct?
It is.
Okay. So in the county building where I in the Muskegon County, they do not acknowledge the case or the index number as a case number because it does not have a letter in front of it or in the back of the number or at the end of the number. So I thought that was very interesting. And I explained to them, and it says right here, because we actually looked it up and it says case number slash index number. So they are one and the same, but they just don't recognize the index number as a case number. Therefore, they would not file the motion for dismissal, which I find very interesting. And I'm wondering, is that how they get around that by restricting certain things so that you can't file a
Well,
motion for dismissal?
I did file a motion of dismissal on my act of foreclosure in the state of New York. It's a judicial foreclosure as opposed to yours, which is an advertisement. Yours is easier to lose a house. In a judicial foreclosure, they can string it out for a number of years. We've been strung out for a number of years. So I did file a motion for dismissal in my name. The property is in a corporate name, so I had to hire an attorney because you cannot be a pro se litigant if it's a corporation. So, with that said, the very large Wall Street law firm just contacted my attorney yesterday and told him that if we didn't withdraw the motion, he would seek sanctions, and that would go against my attorney, which would be a minimum of $10,000 in sanctions. So I withdrew the motion because I will not allow my harm to come to this attorney. We'll
That's
just bring the matter into federal court. And so the point I'm trying to make really is, frankly, we wouldn't have won in state court. They are a tool of the cabal. They are the cabal. They are a tool for the bankers. Foreclosures make millions of dollars for the courts and these banks. We would never be successful. We must move the matter into federal court, and you'll do the same thing.
But you
And
know,
with that said, though, know that there is dicta, there are federal court decisions which poo-poo the land patent. That's true. And so in our complaint, we're going to address those issues straight away to discount them because we have solid case law. The only place a federally land patent property should be litigated is in federal court. So we have solid case law on that.
And that's a whole nother arena. And I'll tell you what, I've been learning quite a bit through this whole process, and even doing the motion to dismiss was a learning process, but it was more information to know. So I'm sure it's probably different in every state, and there may be other states that might let you do a motion for dismissal on a state and local level. Would you say that might be accurate, depending?
Yeah, I would say I did file a motion for dismissal, and I chose to withdraw it because of the threat of monetary sanctions, because that was going to happen. And so, yes, you can do this in other states, most certainly, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to be successful in federal court, not
Because,
state court.
and we know all the big guys, you know, in regard to the cabal have been taken out, but the little minions are just not aware yet that their control and their power is on limited time and
Diminishing as we
diminishing.
speak.
Yes, I agree with that. And but in the meantime, you know, I'm one of these people that this is my property. What we can't, I just don't feel like I need to just sit back and wait and see what happens. And maybe that's the way to go. But if there's other ways that we can navigate through this and teach the people in the legal system what we're doing here so that we can make the road a little easier for others when they come forth.
Well, part of what our goals, part of my goal is to make other people aware, including our politicians and our courts. Because, for instance, the citation that you served on the sheriff under what is it, 18 USC 241 and 242,
That is correct.
that is not a private cause of action, meaning that when you cite somebody, your next step, and I'll provide you all the forms that I have found privately, and you can distribute them as you choose to. You should be writing to the DOJ in Washington and say, look, here's what happened. I'm asking you to criminally prosecute these people. And if more of us stand on our rights and insist that politicians and judges uphold the Constitution as they took an oath to do so, we're going to get a greater respect and greater awareness, but if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it does, but you know how Q has always said, you don't want to participate, don't participate. But as you're actually doing this and physically doing it and you're actually in it, it's kind of hard not to participate, you know.
Well, I don't want to participate with the legal system, and I studied law and dealt with these entities for many years. But I also have to stand up for my inalienable rights, and I will not bend, and I will not stop. And I'll do it as graciously and as kindly as I can, but I'm firm about this. They will not take my property. You can be firm on the same position. They will not take your property, period. We've properly homesteaded. We have this right under either the Constitution or various other treaties, the Homestead Act.
Yes. And
And we're here to educate people and gently explain to them how it is that we do have rights and we must stand up for them.
exactly, I agree. And I just kind of want to touch base back on the index and the case number. And the reason being why we didn't have a case number is because I was told that it was a foreclosure by advertisement and
Yep.
not a judicial one.
That's, and typically, from what I've read, that's how they do it in the state of Michigan by advertisement.
Yeah, so when I was in the auction, I kind of stood up as I was explaining to the folks about my property, and I said to them, "What happens to all the people that these houses get foreclosed on?" And I said, "I just read an article in the newspaper. You know, I pick up the newspaper every now and then and see what kind of stuff is going on in the community, and I came across an article, 40,000 people being foreclosed upon." And you sit here and go, "No wonder we have such a homeless the stats in regard to homeless people. What happens to these people?" And with the cost of rent and housing, it's just ridiculous. It's going through the roof. You know, my son has a house, and it's not in a very good area. And the house next door is actually abandoned, and it's torn down. But he called the city to see what they were going to do about it because he wants to sell the house now and get out of there. But the house that he bought, it's in such bad shape, and I can't believe that these people can legally sell houses like this. And I kind of feel like there's a lot of corruption going on in regard to inspections and, you know, just to get the deal through is what it feels like, because I've purchased a house and I kind of know how it works. And I truly believe that they take advantage of these people that don't really understand the system.
Well,
And
as Thomas Jefferson once wrote, I came upon this quote yesterday. He put in a letter, "I sincerely believe with you that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies." And
yeah,
they are.
they are. I agreed. And you know, when he called the city, there's nothing they can do about it. They can't get a hold of the owner. Oh, but if it was a nice house and the owner was missing, I'm sure they find a way to get it on the market to sell it, right?
Well, that's complete poppycock. If someone has a code violation, but the home has been condemned, they don't need to find the owner to bring it in to knock it down or to wall it off. That's just an excuse. And why are they going to expend money? They're not going to expend money. They only want to take money from you. They don't want to give it out.
Yeah.
So they're.
And when you see these parts of the city where houses are, you know, people are barely making it and can't afford to fix the houses up, and they're living the way that it's so wrong on every level when you, and then you got these people from out of town that come with the big money that will buy these houses, and they'll slap some paint on them and throw some vinyl flooring and turn around and double the price to where, you know, it's ridiculous. So I just, it frustrates me when I see stuff like that. And if there's a way that we can take this system down by doing what we're doing and help others when they're losing their homes, then my heart is all in this. And once I complete what I'm doing here, then I'm going to help others. And it's like, but nobody will take that step until they actually have proof that it works, you know, and that's the other side of it.
Well, somebody has to test the system and see if it works, and I'm here to do that.
Yep. And I'm really, really, really thankful to you for, you know, assisting me with navigating through this, because I am learning things. Will I be a lawyer someday? Probably not. It's a lot of work and a lot of paperwork and a lot. I can't imagine having to do this all the time.
Then here's a more simple question. Why would you ever want to be a lawyer? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you ever want to spend your day with ego-driven people who just want to beat you instead of negotiate and make things better for everyone?
Yeah. You know, you see some of the TV shows where they have these big I can't remember. There's were a couple of shows where they had these law people, and they always made it out like the lawyers were out to help you and whatever they could do to, you know, to save you. And it's so not like that at all. Not at all.
It's so not like that at all. Not at all.
Shake a hand, wink an eye, and make a deal in the back room. So, it's really sad that it's that way. So anyway, going forward with mine. Okay, so I'm here. The auction went through. They didn't buy my house. That's the good news. Okay, so it's going back to the bank. So what happens? Can you just kind of give us a little overview of what happens in regard to what the banks do next with it and what the
No.
waiting periods are and so forth.
They give, in your particular case, you have 6 months to redeem the property. Could you extend the time out? Maybe you could file a bankruptcy petition, which would automatically stall it. But you have essentially 6 months to redeem the property, negotiate with them, try to modify the loan, or, in my mind, the better step is you move this matter into federal court because you have the right. You can never bring an action into federal court. You cannot remove a state court foreclosure into federal court if you're arguing that the state court decision was improper. You must bring the issue that they violated your constitutional rights. So that's the difference.
Okay. Yeah, but going to court is not something I would be really excited about doing.
Well, with federal court, I have one case in federal court right now. It's much more time driven. They set up particular deadlines, and they seem at this point in juncture, at least up here in New York, to enjoy to do Zoom meetings. So chances are you won't necessarily have to walk into court as much as you will have to participate with paperwork and perhaps have a Zoom meeting or two with the magistrate and or the judge and the opposition party.
Right.
So don't worry about going into court.
Okay. Now
And if
that
you have to go into court, I'll stand by you.
I know you well. You've been so wonderful. I truly appreciate everything you do, and you're just a blessing. My other question too is, I've been you just mentioned that, to redeem yourself within the 6 months. I'm getting offers from all kinds of people about buying this property, how they can give me a loan to save me and. It's like every day, and not that I go into my mailbox every day, and I am gonna change that. I'm gonna try to get me what did they call those? Where what is that? Where you go to the post office?
Just get a P.O. box.
Yeah, that's it. P.O. Box. All right. So yeah, that's my next venture. I've just had a lot of stuff going on, but I'm getting offers all the time. And actually, when I was at the auction, I had one guy actually look at me. He goes, "You should pick up your phone once in a while." I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, if you want some help, we're here to help you." And I'm like, "Okay, nobody's been calling my phone. I don't really." And when I do see a strange phone number, I don't answer it because it's always people, "Hey, we can help you out with your taxes. We know you got problems on your taxes, blah, blah, blah." So a lot of people have said to me, "Well, you took the loan out for the house, and so if you took a loan out, then by rights you should be paying that." Okay, yeah. Do I feel guilty about that? No, I don't, because when you understand where the loan is coming from, and which I'm gonna dive deeper into this because I actually was diving into this probably I think back in 2022. I was following David Strait, and he was talking about the minor estate, which is also known as your revocable trust. Is that correct?
As far as I know, yes.
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 Okay. So, and some people might know it as the straw man. Now, I did a while back attempt to send in, the proper forms to get what was supposedly in my account at that time when I looked it up, and I think it was the Treasury. I can't remember the website, but I got my EIN number, and I was looking at all the different bonds. Like there were millions of them in my name in all these different countries, and I'm like, "What the frick is this?" And now here I am 4 years later. Now I understand what it is. Okay. So as we all know, when we are born, our birth certificate becomes a bond, and it is sold throughout our life. And they make money as to how much debt that we're going to incur throughout our life. So that becomes your minor estate, your revocable trust, which is your money, okay, your money that they actually take out and say, "Here's a loan. And you're going to pay us interest back on this loan that we're giving you from the so-called bank where we know the Fed is dead. So how can they loan us money when there is no money to loan?" Right? That makes sense, right?
It's all paper. It's just paper.
Yeah. So if everybody would just wake up to the system, all these taxes, everything, we're taxed on everything, everything. And we get a little tiny bit. Here you go. Go have a 2 week vacation and rest for a couple weeks until we put you back to work. and start controlling you again.
Pretty much.
And so then when you're on the plane, you got to sit here, you can't do this, there's rules, regulations no matter where you go. So you're a slave in everything you do, in everything. Okay, so where's the freedom at? There is none.
Well, and those people sending you letters and or calling you, while they might have a lovely intention, I mean, they perhaps don't have nefarious goals in mind, but they still want to keep you in the matrix, in the system, and that's not where you are, and that's not where you will ever be. So we just say no to the system,
Yeah.
period.
And you know what? Where I work, I have a lot of the younger kids that come in, and one of the young guys, I'll say young adult, I shouldn't say kids, young adult, and he was sitting there, and he kind of, I said, what's wrong? You don't like, you're not your cheerful self. You look a little down. And he goes, I want my weekends back. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I'm working 60 hours a week. And so here the younger generation is going through the same thing that we've been going through our entire lives. And I sit there and go, man, I want to make the world different for them, so they know what it's like to be able to just be free and create and do the things you want to do and not have to live with your parents because you can't afford to move out,
Yeah.
So it's if there's a way that we can make changes by doing this homestead as the first step to freedom, then I'm 100% on board, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm not afraid. I don't Whatever happens, happens. Each experience that comes my way, I will handle it in the present here and now and just navigate as they come for the experiences.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. Okay, so federal court, we're going to take, instead of doing the motion to dismiss, which I was looking through these documents and you did a beautiful job on this, and I was able to read some of this information to the powers to be when I was in the room for the foreclosure attempt or the auction attempt. So there were three properties that were up for sale and only one sold. The other two did not, and mine was actually the last one, so I was able to speak. But there was a lady in the room that did say, ma'am, and she was very, very, very nice, and I could feel her heart. I could just feel. If you would like, I can sit with you and talk to you about what happens to the people with the foreclosures, et cetera. And so when it was over, she did come over and sit with me. But they started explaining things from the matrix point of view. And, I tried to educate them the best I could in regard to what we were doing here with the homestead. So this is going to take a lot to share with
You
people.
know, they might well have. I haven't figured this out yet. I'll do a lot more reading and sitting with what I read. They might well have a claim against you in the banking system, in other words, with the UCC, but they do not ever have a right, once you have a validly perfected land patent, to eject you off of your property. So can they get a judgment against you? Maybe in some circumstances. So don't use banks. Protect your assets, but they can never eject you from your property. They cannot embarrass you and remove you from your property. And that's all we want, is to live in peace.
Yep, agreed. So when you say that they could, you're saying they could garnish my wages, they could come in and, put a hold on whatever's in the bank. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I mean, at this point, nothing. It seems to me, I don't have as much familiarity with Michigan as I do with New York, for instance, but it seems to me a creditor has a remedy. They can pick either to sue you on the note or to sue you to take away your property. But once they've chosen their remedy, they can't go flip over to the other one. So in your case, they've chosen to take your property. Once, so I don't believe they can come after you for a deficiency judgment. I don't believe that's a possibility
Okay, that's good to know.
for them to garnish you. But as a matter of fact, if they try to, if that were to ever happen, if you had, like, I have creditor situations, I don't have money, I don't own, as a person, I don't own anything any longer.
Okay.
So they can garnishy and try to take anything I have, because I don't have anything. And it's just that simple.
Yep, I'm kind of in the same boat. I got my home and I have my car. The rest of the stuff is just material stuff, and if they take it, it's not really gonna hurt me. But it's really funny. In the last month or so, I have gotten to the point where I've been forgetting to pay my bills. I literally just forget, and not on purpose. I'll get a notice through my email. Hey, you missed your payment, or my electric bill will come in and it's like double the cost. And I'm like, wait a minute, how is this so high? But I know, why is it? It's like it doubled. I'm not even, my electric bill is usually like $56 a month, and my last bill was 100 and some. So I asked her to send me a detailed write up as to what these costs were. And you know, they have all these extra fees and everything. And
Of
so
course,
after,
because they can, because
yeah.
the cabal allows it. And across the board, I've heard so many people complain about electricity. I mean, across the board, they're just slamming us.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I just had my propane tank filled, all right, and it was like 600 and some dollars or whatever, and they said if you pay it right away, everything up front, we won't charge you this extra fee. Well, that was really nice of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. What a lovely man you might be.
So it's really funny. So I pay it into payments, you know, because it's like a 700 and some dollar or what? No, it was 600 and some. And so I paid $300 a couple weeks ago, and I just paid the rest of it off. And I'm looking at $25 for I can't remember if it was sales tax or something like that. And then there was a $9, another fee for nine, and then there was another fee for because they let me pay in two payments. And I'm
Oh,
like,
yeah, a convenience fee.
yeah, so I disregarded all of those payments. I deducted them from what I owe for the actual product that I bought. And that's all they're getting. So if they want to come at me, then that's another challenge I'll have. But I mean, it's time to educate people. Why are we paying all these extra fees on top of the cost? And then the same with my Xfinity bill. I don't ever hardly watch TV, but I do have internet. And it started out at a very low cost, and now it's up to 100 some dollars. I'm like, I'm paying 100 some dollars just to have internet? Are you serious? So I'm tempted to just cancel and then restart a new contract with them so I get the lower rate.
Why not? I
I'm a new
mean,
person. My name is Lee instead of Robin, but I'm really the same person. But they're not going to know because are those real people even working that? And do they check into it? No, they just want to make a sale and bring you in. And then a year later, they're going to up the price on you like they do everything.
absolutely, because they can, and nobody protests. We just think that that's the way it has to be.
Yep.
Well, it
Yeah.
doesn't have to be that way, and it will not be this way.
And nobody questions it. Nobody. And then, you know, you talk to these people that say, oh, well, my house is paid off. And I said, well, what does that mean? You still have property taxes, right?
Your house is never paid off in this
Right.
matrix system. You are
Exactly.
always a tenant.
And what happens if you fall behind on your property tax? What if you get sick, or what if they cancel Social Security or your disability and you have no money coming in? Then what? How are you going to get the money to pay your property taxes? So you're not safe like you think you are, you know?
Never. That's right.
So all that hard work your entire life to pay for a house, probably from your own money, and paying interest on top of it is a dead end street, no matter which way you look at it. But we're so brainwashed to think that, oh, once our house is paid off, we're good. We're free. But we're never free. Not in the not in the present day in the matrix. And that is a
I
fact.
mean, and not to go off on another topic, but people are so brainwashed. I mean, how many people lined up to get a jab and then a boost and then put a face cloth on because they were told they had to do it?
Yep.
Yo, that makes no sense to me.
Yep, exactly. So our next step for me, you know, I'm reading this what is it, the motion for dismissal, and under the first part where it talks about the United States Constitution making federal court the only and original and proper court, 23 USC 1338A, is where we're headed in regard to putting a stop to taking
I
possession.
have a first, I have a good rough draft. You know, it'll take me at least another week to spend time, but I have a good rough draft of a complaint for you, where you assert your jurisdiction, you assert the cause of action. I have a good draft.
Okay. And so when we get ready to file that, where do I go to file it when we're ready?
In the district court, I think, I forget, we looked it up, whatever the federal district court closest to Muskegon County is to
Which
you.
is Grand Rapids, the federal building.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes, that's where you would go to file it. You know, filing fees around $405
What?
plus service fees to
What?
file a complaint in federal court is a $405.
Okay, $405. All
And
right.
then initially or additionally, you have to serve all the defendants. You can't serve them. You have to have a process server. I mean, somebody who's not a party to the action. So, like a friend could do it or a process server could do it. If you have a process server do it, you're looking at $50 to $100 per defendant who is served.
Okay. All right, so before I go down there, because it's a trip to Grand Rapids, and I don't want to end up doing what I did with the local Muskegon circuit court, where I wasted lots of time and energy running through the building trying to figure out who does what, because nobody knows anything about anything. It was so funny. But I will say this, I got some really good exercise. I went from the third floor to the sixth floor up the stairs, and I actually was breathless. I had to catch my breath. And I consider myself in pretty good shape, but going up the stairs is a whole different ball game. But the ladies, I will say this, the ladies were very nice. They did, the one lady that I was talking to did have to go to her superior, and then the superior didn't really know what to do until she looked at the index number. So when I go into the federal court, I think I'm going to call ahead of time. So what would this also be a motion for dismissal, the title of it?
No, I mean that'll be that's going to be your remedy. You're going to ask to have it dismissed because you have the perfect title, but that's not going to be it's going to be a summons and a complaint. The
Okay.
remedy will be to dismiss this foreclosure proceeding against you in
Okay.
state court.
Okay, so in the Michigan area, especially Grand Rapids, that is a is quite the blue area, if you know what I mean. And the as we say, the little minions are still running the lower levels of the cabal system. If we run into something in regard to the judge, I'm assuming it's going to be a judge that's going to look over the case.
Typical in my two cases, they start out with magistrate. Magistrate is like the lower, like right below the judge. So they have the magistrate generally do like the preliminary kind of housekeeping duties. And then once you've gotten through all those, if your case survives getting through all of those, you get kicked up to the judge. Typically is how that goes. So you're not going to have an issue filing it. You know, they'll give you the summons. And they'll give you the cover sheet. You know, we'll talk about how to fill out the cover sheet ahead of time so it's done properly. Because I've read various case law where, I mean, understand that courts aren't necessarily there to help you. They all make money in a system. And so if they can find a way to get your file off their desk, they're going to try to find a way to do that. I mean, that's the sad reality. So I've read case law where people have had their cases dismissed because they didn't fill out the proper box on the intake sheet for their federal complaint. We
Okay,
will
so,
anticipate all of that ahead of time. You're not going to run into that. You're going to be
right.
fine.
And I'm not trying to create issues at all, but a lot of the people here in the state of Michigan, they look at homestead as a tax relief. They don't look at it like the original homestead that started in 1862.
Right, because they must view themselves as slaves to the system and they must feel that they have to be a slave to the system. It has nothing to do with tax relief. It's part of our rights given to us under the Constitution, period. That's it.
Which a lot of people know nothing about, and that's pretty sad, to be honest with you.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like it's going to be a pretty easy process, and I'm looking forward to moving ahead. Now, is this something that we should do like immediately, or should we just bide our time until we get closer to that 6 month period?
I'm gonna start working on it immediately. By next Friday, I'll have a solid draft. Whether or not it's in typing, because I'm not a typist, that's another story. Within 2 weeks, I'll have a typed, solid draft for you to review, and we can, discuss it amongst other people and decide how we should refine it or redraft it.
Okay.
I personally choose not to wait. I mean, I'm in an active foreclosure, so I'm getting this filed very immediately. Within a month, this will be filed.
Okay. So the motion for dismissal, are you okay with me posting this on my show page? But what I would do is just take out redact my name from it, so people can kind of see
Yeah,
what
although,
is
I
the
mean,
details.
that motion was for a state court matter. It's going to be a little bit different, but certainly if people are in state court, they could file it in state court. The federal complaint, summons and complaint will be different, but of course you could post it. Yes.
But here's the thing though, would it be a waste of time to even go at the state and local level and just skip it? I mean, or are there some states that might have success in regard to getting the motion dismissed in regard to auctions?
It could go either way. It just depends on the court and the judge. I mean, I think it's important to remember that judges don't work for us. They work for the system,
Right.
sadly. But I also think, and I don't just think, I don't think this, I know this, there is more light coming into this planet now. Things are changing.
Yes, I agree 100%. You
You
can
will
see
have success in federal court. You're not one person, you're one, and you're going to have a line of people behind you. We're all going to be doing the same thing.
yes, and I was just also real quick, if it is a judicial foreclosure, then the motion to dismiss on a state and local level would be something you could use because they will recognize it as a case number and not an index number.
Yes, in my case, it was filed, it was recognized, it was put on the calendar for argument. And what did the lawyer do? I will refrain from what I usually call him. The opponent did. He threatened my lawyer with monetary sanctions because that's what a rat think will do. They know that they're wrong, but they have to threaten you in another fashion. And so that's what they did.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I have contacted, and I don't mean to switch topics real quick, but when I started this and I sent the what's the word for that document? The citation to the sheriff. I sent him the citation, and then I sent it again to the people that work in his office that came on my property trespass while I was not home, and posted the early foreclosure notice. And it was really interesting when I talked to the one guy. I said, "I hear that you are the one that posted this on my door." And he goes, he literally said, "No, it wasn't me. It was the deputy." And I said, "Well, do you have his name?" And he actually gave me the name. So I thought
Well,
that was pretty good. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. But the thing is the sheriff has not. He called me one time, and I missed his call. But I called him back two times that day. A week later, I called back and left another message. I went to his office. He wasn't in. And to this day, I have not heard back from him. Nothing.
and I would say you're not going to. So you take your citation. I have forms I can get to you later today. It might be early evening.
Yeah.
A letter that you can send to DOJ in Washington, as well as your the civil attorney, civil federal attorney in your district. You're gonna send it to all of them. You're gonna send it to a couple of other officials, and ask them to kindly prosecute and look into this matter,
Yep, and
because it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
oh no, go ahead. I was just real quick. I wanted to get in. The same sheriff, and I saw this in one of the newspapers. His name is Michael J. Pollan. He was appointed to that position by Governor Whitmer, and he actually put an ad in the paper and said that he was not going to comply with Mr. Trump's immigration policies, and that all the immigrations in this area would not have to worry, as he was not going to, you know. And I said, really, you're putting this in the local newspaper? And you can tell that our newspaper here, it is 100% blue, 100%. That's all
And
I've
so, how
seen.
do you think they're going to receive your citation or your phone call?
Exactly.
They could care less. I was told the fella came to turn off my propane tank because I objected to some of their fees. He pushed me to, I showed him the signs. He pushed me away. So that's an assault, which I'm not going to pursue. But
Yeah.
nonetheless, they don't believe that this is real. They think that you're some kind of whack job and none of this is real.
Yeah, and then it's
Well,
all
let's politely
internet
and
garble.
gently explain to them how this is real. Not in a vindictive fashion, but just gently. It's like, no, these are our rights, and this is how we do it.
Yeah, but you know what I find really frustrating is when you give them, when they say, "How do you know this stuff?" and you give them the citations of the information of where, like the USC 241 and 242, and you give them that information, they don't bother to look at it. It's like, it means nothing. So why ask me that question? How do you know this when you're not even going to look into it?
Because
And
it doesn't mean anything to them. They're part of the cabal, and
yeah.
it doesn't mean anything to them right
Yeah.
now.
And I did, how Q says when you go in there to just be kind and love, and I was like that, and I really did get a lot of nice people that, they weren't their most of the time when you go into the federal building, most of the people that work behind the windows, they're very, they look at you as like you're a criminal of some sort. And the only reason you're there is because you committed a crime or you didn't pay a bill or something. And that's how you get treated. But the day
Pretty
that I was
much.
in there, yeah, the day that I was in there, I got really good responses. They were very nice, courteous. They just didn't know a whole lot about anything. So that was the only frustration. But other than that, it is really good to get face to face in front of people, because they can see your light, they can feel your light,
And
and
you can see what's in their eyes too,
yep,
whether
exactly,
anyone's home or not.
yep,
You can see.
100%, 100%. You know who to keep talking to, and you know who to walk away from right away.
That's right. And for me, like I always used to be very abrupt and bristly because I've been attacked a lot
Yeah.
by the judicial system and so on. But so I've learned how to be a little bit kinder and more gentle.
Yep.
But I'm
You.
equally, but I'm firm. It's like I will be kind and gentle, but I am very firm on these issues.
Yep. And that's exactly how you come across. And your story is amazing. And what you've been through, I can't say enough about how, what a strong person you are. And even though you've been through some stuff, you still have a kind heart, and you are still here wanting to help others. And you're not holding on to anger. You're not like you're just really like so calm and so peaceful. And I feel that every time you and I collaborate. And I'm so very grateful that you are assisting with this. And just want you to know I love you and thank you so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and I'm grateful to know you. So
Yeah.
thank you.
You're welcome. So with that, Teresa, we're going to end the show, and hopefully you and I can collaborate again down the road as to what our where we're headed down this homestead journey, and share our successes. And I do believe, no, I don't believe, I know that we are going to be winners 100%.
Sister, we're going to be collaborating and quite a bit, so we got this.
Damn straight. Yeah. Okay, so on that note, thank you everyone for tuning in again to the Awakening Wave Show. I do believe I'm going to be collaborating with Antonio again in a couple weeks. We talked about another topic. I don't have it right offhand here, but I will be putting out information in regard to that. And also know that this Saturday, this is a recording, so I am recording the show. This Saturday, he is having a group of people getting together on Zoom. I think most of you are signed up for it. If you're not, Just reach out to the awakeningwavecr@gmail.com and I'll be more than happy to get to the information. Oh, wait, I take that back. He does not have any more spots open, so it is full. But maybe he'll have another one. But anyway, on that note, love all of you. Have a beautiful, beautiful Saturday and keep on rocking. Talk to you later.